microstructured global form, like, for example, financial markets that operate across space, but are not institutionally tied down by one particular institution and its hierarchy or whatever it may go on in the institution. Or global terrorist groups, global movements, social movements, for example, what Orife called infra-politics. All these things seem to be microstructured rather than institutionally structured in a written sense. And therefore, there's a real relevance of increasing our understanding. There's also a theoretical relevance in the sense that the situation remains, I think, a nucleotidic structure of sociality. And we would be better off if we knew more about how the situation works. I sometimes like the sociology, I think, in the same way in which Aaron does it, as a sort of an epistemological antidepressant. What depresses us, an economist has said that, not me. Economists have said, are the limits of knowledge that emerge when you do cross-sectional, large-scale, quantitative studies across a diversity of organizations and areas. And then you come up with results and then they don't work. But I think if we look at the micro, if we look at the microprocesses, we open these things up to pushing the limits of knowledge at least a little further. We may not eliminate them completely. Now I'm going back to Goffman here. There are many micro sociologists which are important here. Aaron, my mentor, is perhaps the most important one. But Goffman had these extreme formulations, so I'd like to attack him. I'd like to take him as a starting point. Now, if you remember what Goffman said about the social situation, he called it a primordial thing. The primordial thing was the face-to-face situation. It is rooted in universal preconditions of social life, the need for intimates and strangers to come together at fixed points and places to get things done. And interaction is what uniquely transpires in social situations, in environments in which individuals are physically in one another's response presence. So the major assumptions, and they are assumptions that have been shared, for example, by a number of ethnomethodologists who have made pronouncements on this, is the positive equivalent of an interaction, whether it's a physical setting, it involves physical co-presence, or idea in spatial. Situation is conceived of as a territory, territorial relatedness, and there's a divide between interaction order on the one hand and macro-social dynamics and phenomena on the other. I think we can have today, or we must have, counter-assumptions, make counter-assumptions. I see no longer the structural importance of the physical co-presence face-to-face situation. I think the prototypical union no longer necessarily involves physical co-presence of participants. The interaction order should not be based theoretically solely on territorial, spatial notions and concepts in the background, but include forcefully the temporalities of encounters, and there is no deep divide between what happens on the interaction order level, the core of microanalysis, and the macro-social order. Now let me make that a little more plausible to you. Why is the face-to-face situation no longer structurally that important? Because very simply, we spend a lot of time, all of us know that, in the virtual presence of others, we spend a lot of time looking on the screen. Here is some data from 2007 on computers and TV, comparing computers and TV. I don't need to elaborate that. Shopping, even teaching, all kinds of things are done online now. That's not what interests me that much. What interests me is the need to conceptualize within microsociology the presence of electronic media and their contribution to situations and the coordination of action. Now, when we talk about these media, we have, of course, a whole lot on offer. There is a lot of material on electronic infrastructures leading immediately to the notion of a network society. Some of this work is clearly very important. is that that many of these electronic media have one part, and that's the screen part. And the screen part is in the situation. And the screen is like a scope. What these systems do is not just interconnect on an infrastructural level the citizens of various. In fact, that is only an infrastructural matter, the electronic networks. What happens on the interaction level is very often something quite different. And that is many participants, or all participants, in interaction with the screen, and what is on the screen is becomes the very important thing. And there is a different form of coordination emerging from that. So I call these infrastructure scopic systems because they observe mirror and reflect very often distant or invisible realities, bring them into the situation, and they coordinate action by enabling participants or making participants looking at the screen and being engaged by the screen. The audience responds to them reflecting an apresented reality, which is a Schützian term, rather than to what runs through some pre-defensive time. Now here is a very nice, what you can also call face screen situation at the trading floor in a global market. You all know these pictures, and I can't go into them, but just to see, you know, it's not face-to-face, it's face-to-screen, and the screen gains a lot of weight. There are many, many other versions of that that you could look at. I have thought about what would happen if we have a marital quarrel, like the famous one in this movie, a marital quarrel, and the participants would not be confronted with what is usually sitting in our environment, the furniture which stays there, comes once, stays there 30 years, we still have the same furniture. You know, all things that are pretty irrelevant to the actual argument. But if they were confronted with the situation, like the traders, in which they had on in their immediate environment all relevant information to their argument. What is the legal advice? What have other people done? What did you do to me 30 years ago? Why are you never listening to me? What is the communication after that? So all of that could be on screen, and you could draw on that. And I assume the argument would work differently, and the orientation to the screen would be important. So I mean, you can have more contemporary versions of this. For example, the soccer World Cup situation, where you have screens all around and one in the middle, which the participants analyze in order to inform themselves about what they are supposed to discuss, say, convey as a message, and so on and so forth. So now you can make a point about the presence of these screens, but you can't stop there, of course. You have to go beyond that, and I have tried to do that on the one hand by distinguishing between different types of. Whenever you have this presence of screens, I would call that a synthetic situation. The situation becomes more and more synthetic depending on how important, how much weight the screens have, and they have on the trading floor, they have all the weight. So you can have this all-inclusive face-to-screen situation that you've seen on the trading floor. You can have the synthetic component in a real physical situation, as in the case of Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton. Or you can have a split engagement, for example, in the case of an operating theater, where the patient is immobilized but still there, and the interaction between surgeons is going on, but the guidance is through the screen, and the patients may be turned inside out through what is visible on screen. Or you can have this sort of surrogate face-to-face situation which we have in video conference. These are some types, These are some types we have to distinguish of synthetic situations. These synthetic situations tend to be not face-to-face but face-to-screen. The stronger the screen element, the weaker the network form of coordination is in this case, because the screen projection is what situation in the case of the physical environment, furniture, for example, has few buttons, but maybe not that much of an importance. Now, definition of the synthetic situation and environment augmented in temporalized by fully or partially sculpted components in which we find ourselves again in one another's response present, but without needing to be in one another's physical presence. Synthetic situation has a number of features which differ from the face-to-face traditional social situation. One is that it tends to have informational and geopolitical text. Informational and geopolitical text comes about through what is on screen. You can have expert advice, for example, on screen, distant expert advice on a medical screen for the surgeons operating while they are operating. So you get this informational depth, and you get the geopolitical depth that the territorially distant can come directly transported into the situation, implemented into the situation. Here is another example of a clinical situation, just to show that getting the synthetics right, because the synthetic components are informationally and geopolitically relevant, it becomes very important to get the synthetics right. And you can imagine that in a clinical situation, it's a moral obligation for everyone, in principle at least, to have the right synthetics up there on the screen. So it becomes almost like a participant in the situation, like an interaction partner. The other component which I listed was the ontological fluidity of the synthetic situation. This again has to do with the screen components and how strong they are. In the case of these markets, the market is changing in split seconds. So you don't have a situation to which we would attribute some everyday notion of even a small kind of stability. It is never stable. It is always in flux. And this ontological fluidity, I think, forces us also to work more when we work with these synthetic situations with temporal concepts rather than with spatial concepts. I cannot analytically go into that because I see him already slowly turning to me. But I'd like to address one or two more issues, if I may. How much time I have? 5 minutes, that should be sufficient. One is that we need to look very precisely at the response system in these synthetic situations. I've already said that we have response present and not physical presence. Response present meaning you are accountable to response, but you need not be in the physical situation. But there are a number of other things which come up in these synthetic situations. One is tends to involve coercive monitoring. Coercive monitoring of what is on screen. In the physical situation, even in the marital argument, we would look for help on screen. Certainly in the trading case, in the soccer game case, or any other case, imagine an airplane that you have or are also in the pilot's cabin in a synthetic situation. Coercive monitoring is very important, and this sort of coercive monitoring, I don't think it was is a classical issue of inquiry in the face-to-face situation. The modes of engagement differ. You see much more intensity, but also preparedness becomes important because of the temporal aspects of the synthetic situation, which you cannot, in an ad hoc manner, follow quickly enough, fast enough. Preparedness for what might come up becomes very important, and intensity is visible in many of these synthetic situations, of course, also on the trading floor. I need to work with pictures rather than arguments because of time. The issue of embodiment is, I think, one that I also find very, very interesting. I tend to, like Aaron, go to neurophysiology to look at their notion of embodiment. Embodiment was just pre-given in the regular face-to-face situation. But in the synthetic situation, embodiment becomes an issue. It becomes something that has to be accomplished. And it's what I see it as doing is the creation of congruence in the neurophysiological manner in which it has been investigated, the creation of some sort of emotional congruence between the recipient and between the sender of a particular information. In the synthetic situations, it is not automatically the case. When you are on a trading floor, for example, you have all these lines of text there, but the emotional congruence, and not just emotional congruence, but embodiment, is very important for the traders because it enhances, and that is what neurophysiology seems to show, it enhances comprehension, understanding, and response, quickness of responses. And so that is going on. And in the vocabularies of emotion traders sometimes use, you can see how they have achieved. These are heavily sexual vocabularies of something going wrong in the market and affecting them bodily, in an embodied way. So there is the connection to the stream that in the all impulsive face-to-face situation is so strong that you feel what goes on there as if it was tearing you up from your seat or, you know, hitting you over the head or sexually assaulting you. So the synthetic situation, because it is synthetic, requires management of the transition from the disembodied electronic picture and context to embodied processing. It requires managing and coping with the disembodied screen reality in the physical background situations. The participants tend to become somatovisceral, gesturally and verbally. They move on all these levels, not only to see the situation on screens with their eyes, but as an observer would, but to actually embody, and that helps us prepare them. Now, my last point is faithfulness. Goffman has a little analysis of faithfulness in one of in a paper on gamblers. But he limits it to fateful consequences a situation might have later, for example, in gambling, if you lose all the money. I think what we need to see, perhaps, or address is that synthetic situations may have an enhanced, bring about an enhanced fatefulness. The situation becomes charged with additional significance. Why? Because these scopes intimately articulate a developing fate that might not be visible. Visual and informational revealing of what is causally implicated in the situation and might be at a territorial distance or at a temporal distance is being made possible by these scopes. And that increases faithfulness. Now here you have a pregnancy test picture which illustrates the point perhaps better than all the words I'm not allowed to give anymore. For example, you have I think it's a 20-week pregnancy test for all the structural problems and disabilities the fetus might have. And you know, with the screen presence of indicators of potential problems, you massively increase not only the faithfulness of the situation, but also of what comes afterwards. So to sum up, if we are thinking of a global interaction order, and I think we should think in terms of global interaction orders because there are very consequential, deep consequences, areas like global markets, and we've seen the consequences, that are factually constructed and structured, scoping processes that deliver parts of reality on screen, or the whole reality on screen, are part of the global interaction order, and physical co-presence is much less important than it used to be. The situation becomes a synthetic situation. The situation gains weight relative to the actual interaction, because you have what the synthetics in the situation are doing, and who is in charge of that, and the moral obligation argument becomes very important. Specific response systems emerge as a matter of accountability and management and articulation of the situation that are different from the previous response systems, and processes of embodiment and transition from the spring situation to the embodied situation. Mark, the interstitials between a synthetic situation and human action. So I recommend to you